You also worked in military intelligence as a young man. Mm. What did you imagine the service might be like?
Modern secret services, I only know really from the fringes, MI5 and MI6 as they now stand, that is the security service responsible for homeland security, and SIS, MI6, responsible for overseas intelligence. I think they're completely different worlds to any I knew. In the first place, selection has changed dramatically and become far more democratic. These are no longer old boys' clubs where you could be tapped on the shoulder at a cocktail party and asked for a quiet word, and then you met a bunch of men, and usually all men from Oxford and Cambridge, who looked you over and offered you a place in the secret firmament. Now, these days, that's all quite different.
What do you think it was about you that triggered the tap on the shoulder?
Well, what do you look for? What did you look for in those days? Somebody who could pass himself off as a diplomat, for one. Somebody who had entertainment value, who could make perhaps rather insignificant people, traitors particularly, feel good, feel dependent on you. Somebody who had a bit of natural larceny in him. That's an essential part of it. Somebody who found life fun, who liked outdoors, wasn't too introverted, somebody who had ingenuity, a narrative imagination. A lot of writers have been through the spy mill, the intelligence mill, Graham Greene, J.B. Priestley, and on they go, Somerset Maugham. And, yeah, so those were the things, and I expect I ticked a lot of boxes in those days, particularly on the larcenous side. My father had been in and out of prison several times, and he mixed with the London underworld. That would have been an agreeable qualification in their eyes. Dissembling, that was important.
It was important for you to protect your father dissembling?
Well, yes. I mean, it was important for me to dissemble very much, yes, as a child. My father led this rackety life. He was a hugely engaging, very flawed man, a confidence trickster by profession. He was in jail in a bunch of countries, my own being only one of them. And my mother had disappeared when I was five. And so going to British boarding schools, the first thing to do was pretend you had a normal family.
Segment 1.
You also worked in military intelligence as a young man. Mm. What did you imagine the service might be like?
Modern secret services, I only know really from the fringes, MI5 and MI6 as they now stand, that is the security service responsible for homeland security, and SIS, MI6, responsible for overseas intelligence. I think they're completely different worlds to any I knew. In the first place, selection has changed dramatically and become far more democratic. These are no longer old boys' clubs where you could be tapped on the shoulder at a cocktail party and asked for a quiet word, and then you met a bunch of men, and usually all men from Oxford and Cambridge, who looked you over and offered you a place in the secret firmament.
Segment 2.
Now, these days, that's all quite different.
What do you think it was about you that triggered the tap on the shoulder?
Well, what do you look for? What did you look for in those days? Somebody who could pass himself off as a diplomat, for one. Somebody who had entertainment value, who could make perhaps rather insignificant people, traitors particularly, feel good, feel dependent on you. Somebody who had a bit of natural larceny in him. That's an essential part of it.
Segment 3.
Somebody who found life fun, who liked outdoors, wasn't too introverted, somebody who had ingenuity, a narrative imagination. A lot of writers have been through the spy mill, the intelligence mill, Graham Greene, J.B. Priestley, and on they go, Somerset Maugham. And, yeah, so those were the things, and I expect I ticked a lot of boxes in those days, particularly on the larcenous side. My father had been in and out of prison several times. He mixed with the London underworld. That would have been an agreeable qualification in their eyes.
Segment 4.
Dissembling. That was important.
It was important for you to protect your father by dissembling?
Well, yes. I mean, it was important for me to dissemble very much, yes, as a child. My father led this rackety life. He was a hugely engaging, very flawed man, a confidence trickster by profession. He was in jail in a bunch of countries, my own being only one of them. And my mother had disappeared when I was 5. And so going to British boarding schools, the first thing to do was pretend you had a normal family.